When shall righteousness shine forth?
The Lord is so good. There's many principles here that he's just kind of directed me to continue on and to encourage you in that you are the economic structure, that you're the benchmark, you're the, you're that excellent part of God that he is showing forth now. And so for us to, and I know that sometimes it's, if you don't let the Holy Ghost work in you, you'll let the world work in you. You'll let their thoughts, you'll let their education, you'll let their persuasions of speech be yours. And by doing that, you'll be disappointed. You won't come to your potential. The world in which we live is not your potential. Your potential goes above the elements of the world. And all of them are evolving, and all of them live and die. They're supposed to do that. For in death comes a new creation. You see, if the trees didn't fall down and die and all this stuff, and they didn't go into the ground, your ground wouldn't grow anything. It'd be dead ground. Things didn't go in you and die in you and a new resurrection come up in you, a new seed, a new word, a word of eternal life instead of that which is subject unto death, mortal, subject unto death, but immortal, subject unto life everlasting. You will not minimize the process that God has developed in his creation, nor will you think it less or of a lesser. But you will understand that in his purpose of full creation, there is an evidence where in a state that becomes incorruptible can now take on immortality. Not subject unto death. And still be a live organism. Hallelujah. How do you like that? Because it's the truth. How do I find this out? Through the Word of God. And so that's why we need to shine forth. And don't get into the place where you don't think you're worthy because of your bad actions. Or bad thoughts. What are you saying, Danny? I'm blowing this thing wide open. I didn't say it. I didn't create you, but he did. And the purpose he created you for was not some evaluation of minds with a carnal, deceitful, dying attitude where failure becomes their excuse for never entering in. But when you see the process of, if I left that cell on there and it didn't die, it was created to die. So that a new cell would come. And so they say that for man. But man wasn't created to die. He dies because he doesn't continue to live. But in the process of living, there is a dying. And the dying is what's hard for us. If we're doing something that's killing us, eventually it'll kill us. Not that it has to. If we stop it, it can't kill us. And so, are we getting this? Now we look at the church has always looked at the outside and exterior, and they've really never got much past the carnal frame of thinking and judgment and everything else. Because when you're the icon, or when I is pronounced the head of, and I'll tell you what, in this new generation, hardly anybody ever puts anybody else ahead of themselves. I and my friends. I and this. I and that. It's always me first. And even though you think that I'm harping on that a little bit, yet it is the pattern of your thinking. I'm going to be number one. When, as a servant, we become number two. I can help it. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. See, you got, look at, I'm as real as it gets. Hallelujah. And God is alive inside of you. And so it's time for you to just rise up and let Him live inside of you. And He don't mind the mess because He knows how to fix it. He didn't tell us we weren't going to have to take a bath. He didn't tell us we were going to get, Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, I've been really trying, but I'm not doing really good right now. So you think He's going to take a death ear to you because you're not? Now that's what the church has told you. That's a lie. He came that we might be saved, not lost. He came that we might be redeemed, not condemned. And so you're going to have to do some adjusting to your religious thinking. And stop looking at how many scriptures somebody can quote you, back to you, that you're familiar with. And if you're not familiar with it, you're thrown way off the keyboard. I didn't get that one. I forget. I didn't get that one. Maybe you never need it. Ever think of that? Hallelujah. My brother's really a good, he's smart as a whip. He never graduated from high school, but that's only because he got in trouble in high school. Had half a dozen kids later, very successful man. More successful than most doctors and lawyers. You know why? Because he applied himself. But he has his limitations. I have my limitations. You have your limitations. Let me tell you something. When he needed me, I just happened to be there, and so I did all of his electrical work because I'm kind of handy at that. Pretty fast. He's not. Now, what happened with the two of us? He was able to get that inspection passed. Not delayed for a month. I'm just trying to be as real as I can. You have spiritual needs. You have physical needs. You have all kinds of needs. Where's the body of Christ? It's time you laid down your agendas. Oh, my Lord Jesus. And started to listen to one another. And listen to the people around you. Because God puts you. You're the economic structure. And He wants them, all these other people, to get to know Him just like you do. With the same patience, with the same love, the same understanding. And guess what? You're going to have a lot of stuff going into your pure ears. But if you don't take an offense and you realize it's a language that will be cleaned up as God's Word is gripped into their heart, you won't have to worry about it. Listen, I worked with linemen. Some of the toughest men you're going to ever work with. Because every day their life is on the line physically. So they do some stuff. they say some words. And I worked with them every day. And most of the time, I had a word. It wasn't their word, but it was comparable. Can you believe it? My word was stinking. And I didn't realize it until my men started saying that stinking thing instead of that other thing. Come on, beloved. I want to be as real and as open to you as I can. Let you know that you're on the earth. You're His vessel that He's going to use. Hallelujah. And be used of God in your imperfect state. And be patient, not only with other people around you, but with yourself also. And keep working, shooting towards the goal that God is setting before you. Because everyone will have a different goal. And after you meet that goal, another one is online. And just because you met one goal don't make you perfect all the way. Just makes you perfect in that area. Amen. Glory to God. And so we're looking at, hallelujah, as we're looking at this, when shall the righteous shine forth like the sun? And we dealt with these different topics. But if we'll still go to the second slide, hallelujah. And they that be wise, that's where I'm at. And it's pretty cool. Do you want to be wise? Hallelujah. How do you want to be wise? Do you want to be able to repeat a bunch of lies that you hear on television and in the news media and even some of the history that you have that they didn't tell you the whole truth? Well, we all do it. You see, because that's where it's at. Until the truth comes, until the truth is spoken into a lie, you'll think it's the truth. I don't want you to feel bad or anything like that. I want you to realize that we are the sons of God and we're being challenged now to bring the truth in. And only with what you know and only with where you are. So let Him work it in you. And so He will speak a word. And so we went through Job, the Redeemer, liveth. Hallelujah, aren't you glad of that? And where I want to go now, hallelujah, is I want to go into the fourth slide, and I want you to look at Ezekiel 37, 1 through 4. And as we go to this, it's pretty cool because, hallelujah, I'm excited. Are you excited? I can't help it. I get excited. Hallelujah. And this is more real to me than my health. Because He's actually given me health I never had, hallelujah, after I've been afflicted. Glory to God. I did have to depend on a man to take a double hernia and tie it back up. And while he was at it, he did a few other things, and I didn't even ask him to do. Make things better. Come on. You know that God will give you favor and He will do what He will do if you'll let Him? And you know that He wants to do more for you than what you want to or even think that you have need of? That He'll go before you, that He'll bless you in an abundant measure even when you don't ask Him? But then let's be very, very wise in saying, thank you, Lord. I learned from that. I'm not going to forget that. Fact is, the next time I have an opportunity, I'm going to try to be like you. I'm going to obey you in the press. I'm going to bless one just because you said so, whether they deserve it or not. In that act of kindness, to be the difference between life and death. Now get this. Between darkness of depression Listen to this. And the light of God where there's no depression. My God. You see, it's not complicated. It's our right to live as children of God in whatever developed place we're in. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you, if you get good enough where you can do it all the time, I guarantee you it won't be long and He's going to move you to another area so you can get good there too. I think of Karen. I didn't think, hey, she told me when she had the girl, she said, Daddy, God didn't create me to be a mother. Because she was like Daddy. She didn't, you know, and Mama had a big hand in her life, but Daddy had a big hand because he didn't have any boys. And so I didn't baby her like you'd baby a little princess. Suck it up and keep going, baby. Don't tell me you can't do it. You can. And I think of all the ridiculous stuff I used to have her do, and I say, my God, where was your head? And I guess it was just in need. I didn't know it. That's what I mean. Maybe somebody, probably a lot of my friends kind of saw that maybe I needed to be, act a little different, but they didn't have my need. Now listen, who would have known that now she's teaching kids, little primary kids all the time. And not only just kids, but those that are in need, those that are hard kids to work with. Kids that come out of crazy families. Crazy. Things that you can't imagine. Things they've never wrote about. Things that's never been reported on. Tell me we're not vehicles of God's choice. Where there would be no way that they could ever find out. Telling you, teachers, it's a God call on your life. And you do have a double responsibility. But, on the next hand, is you will get a double blessing. And many times, it comes. You just have to wait for it, but you don't know. I keep seeing this little guy come in, drawn by God, neighbor, drawn by God. So he don't stay, so he doesn't go with the, well, you should have. No, just shut up and let God draw him in and do the work. See, that's what we've done. We've tried to manage, micromanage. You're not going to get good production out of micromanagement. You're going to get a half job done. Because there are those you don't have to manage that you haven't got a clue what they can do. And if you love them, it'll be added to you. If you treat them right, pray for them. Get a burden, honest burden of love. Hallelujah. It doesn't make any difference how long or what behavior you're looking at. It's that He is increasingly becoming more and more involved in their life. And this one thing I will tell you, He takes care of His kids. Jesus. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Was that good preaching? Now let's go to Ezekiel 37. I want to show you something here. I got some really wonderful expression in the Word for you. And we're just going to look at some of it. I don't know how much of it will get done. It's pretty cool because let me read you a little caption here. In this version, the dry bones aptly represent the ruined and desperate state of both Israel and Judah, and the revitalization of those bones signifying the restoration to their own land after their captivity, and also the recovery from their present long depression. Although this is a primary general scope of the vision, yet the doctrine of general resurrection of the dead may justly be referred from it. For a smile of the resurrection, said Jeremiah, after Tertullian and the others would never have been used to signify the restoration. Listen to this. Of the people of Israel, unless such a future resurrection had been delivered and known, because no one... Now listen, this was their practice at the time. Words are so precious and they're so wonderful. Attempted to confirm on certain things by things which have no existence. Did you hear that? Maybe you didn't think you heard it. Maybe you didn't hear it. And at that time, they were very limited to what they knew. Today, we have the ability to look into the unseen world. We now can see things that are alive and existing that you can't see with your naked eye or comprehend with your minds until. You see, the mind is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Well, what is it without the eyes? What is it without the nose? What is it without the ears? Pretty good, huh? What is it without the hands and the feet and the toes and the fingers and every other part of your body? Insufficient. And yet, it has the very ability to send the impulses necessary to function every part. So it's looking for a response. And so when there's something that goes wrong with it, his has a more difficult time in responding properly, doesn't it? Sometimes it needs help. I remember when I damaged my shoulders, I would have to help him. I'd have to help him. Crawl him up on the wall. Stuff like that. In a lot of pain. In a lot of resistance. Because they refused to work because they were damaged. We have to do that with one another sometimes. We have to love one another. Start some first principles over. So that we can begin to function the way we did before. How many are functioning different and wish they could function the way they did before? And want to get stronger. Take an effort. You have to do this. But let's look at this. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. We know this very much, don't we? And caused me to pass by them and round about. And behold, there were very many in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Then, see, and when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them about, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds of breath and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, my people, I will open up your graves, and I will cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and my people and brought you up out of your graves. Hallelujah. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And we can stop right there. Hallelujah. Now here's a man, a God man, probably praying over some of the stuff that we're praying over right now in this country. Right now, over in this country. Where is the God country that I knew? Where is it at? And feel just as disturbed as many of the people in America feel right now today. If you talk to the majority of them, they really don't trust the Democrats or the Republicans, because they both are in question. Turned our politics into a bunch of liars and deceivers. Come on, somebody say amen. You see, the Republican Party is not going to save America. They're not going to save anybody. You know what's going to save us? God. You know what's going to save you? You know what's going to save your family? You know what's going to give you protection? You know what's going to bring you into a fullness of security and safety? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. As you believe in the Lord, as you give yourself to the Lord, as you let relationship go with you and God, hallelujah, no matter where you are or in what circumstances you're in, if you'll cry unto Him, He'll hear your voice. And in the midst of it, He'll give you a word. And then He wants you to respond to the word. Now, if you go back up to the first verse, you're going to see some things that were required. Hallelujah. Go back up to number one. And I'll just try and just give you some, just give you the word and just give it to you in way of understanding. 37:1, honey. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. Now that doesn't seem too spiritual to me, does it to you? And when you're praying and you really want to get close to the Lord, would you be shocked if His visitation was to set you in a graveyard where the bones were exposed? The insinuendo here was that they wasn't even graves. Jesus. Now, in all that circumstance, do you think God wasn't mindful of even the bones? He had to be. For you see, it wasn't Ezekiel having a bad nightmare or a dream. It was the Lord taking him. He was in prayer, you see. And the Lord took him by the Spirit and He set him in front of His nation, that He had called, that He had predestinated, that He will fulfill His word in. And the deplorable condition was that their bones were even separated. And according to just logic of humanity and logic of thought, you would say there would be no way you could ever restore those bones. And sometimes there'd be never no way you could restore them people. We have to be careful that what we see don't demand upon us what is truth with our own eyes. But that we hold the word of the Lord over everything, our feeling, our intelligence, our reasoning, because He wants to take us far beyond where man has ever been and establish us as sons and daughters of God. That word for son, it both has both genders in it. It doesn't just have a male gender. God forgive us for making prejudice in the body in which He developed man and woman. Or any other lesser or higher order of things. Second one, and let me just show you now that this is what the Lord said, now look at what He's got to do here. Two, honey. And He caused me to pass by them around about, and behold, there were very many in an open valley. I get this? That's the insinuation there. And lo, they were very dry, so He could actually see them. And this is where we will all go in the best of our efforts, in the best of our giftings, in the best of our skills, if we don't think we need to continue to go into that most holy place and that we aren't continually overcoming. When you're put into a place you don't like, submit to the place. Hear me. And work as though you're working before God in the detestable place you might think you should not be. My God. Ooh, this is good, isn't it? It's really quiet. Oh, this isn't what God wants to do. This isn't God. This isn't spiritual. This is more spiritual, hallelujah, than you might want to believe. And it's right down to where we live. And thank God He's letting me. Thank God you're pulling it. Thank God you're listening. Because you must know that He doesn't divorce you. He didn't divorce them when they were strung out bones and they didn't even know what to do. And He walked by them and He still didn't know what to do. He was totally in amazement. Hallelujah. He still didn't know what He was walking in. go to the third verse. Let me show you something. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Oh, Lord! Lord! You see, he got an idea because he's a prophet. He got a little bit of an idea. Now, don't cut him short, you know. You got to realize God's talking to him. He's got a little forethought here. He's got a little bit of ideas on his own. Come on, you guys. Because you see, he's seen God do the miraculous time and time and time and time again. Over and above the reasonings of men. And he never knew what was going to be the requirement by him. Oh, we like to shout. We like to tell everybody what to do. But what's your requirement? Well, I want to tell other people what their requirement is. You see, because I know what everybody else's requirement is. Because I've already been there. But, well, then why don't you do it? Well, I don't have to do it, you see, because I'm already perfected. Now, they don't say it like that, but they might as well. No. If you are, you will do this. Now, I'm going to try and do this. See, I'm down this far. I'm going to go all the way. Just like that. I'm telling you, if you can't do this, you need to do it. You need to stretch those ligaments in the back of the legs and in the top part of the legs. And if you do that, you'll find out that your back won't hurt so bad. You're actually helping the support of them. And, you know, this is just some good physical therapy. Like that. See that? But you know what? When you can't do it anymore, because you haven't tried. Sometimes what the Lord does is we get so good at something, and then he'll say, well, look, I want you to go back down here. I want you to be right close to these right here. You know how to do it. You haven't had to do it in a long time. Life's been good. Been able to sit in that lazy boy and kick them feet up. Come on. And that's not bad. It's not putting it down. But we have to be willing. Hallelujah. To go wherever God tells us to go into them dry bones and to look at them. Hallelujah. And to have the sense of God to say, Lord, you know. I haven't got a clue what you're going to do here. See, you've never done this before. But you know, Lord. If you're following this, if you're taking notes, if you're a good student, you'll take notes. You'll understand this very clearly. Next verse. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And now, hallelujah, he's speaking as the Lord would speak, but it's not the Lord speaking for himself. It's now the Lord speaking through the prophet. You want to take on the responsibility of being the spokesman. If you don't, you'll never own it. You'll never know it to take ownership. And you'll never know what ownership is there. Because it's only through the ownership will you be able to give it, because you own it. Not good enough, Al, to just speak it. Not good enough to just know it. That's where they stop. He knows what I'm talking about. We got our own little languages going on here. But, hallelujah. I'm not going into that. But praise the Lord. And so now we find out that there's a prophetic voice that's going forth. And don't be afraid to be a prophet. The fivefold ministry belongs to the body of Christ. It belongs to the church. And you're going to be a prophet at times. And you're going to be an apostle at times. And you're going to be a teacher at times. Glory to God. You're going to have the fivefold ministry at your disposal, and you'll be the mouthpiece, or you'll be the hands, or you'll be the heart, or you'll be something to do with this wonderful process of now bringing the body into completion. Hallelujah. So there'll be times when you'll have to prophesy. There'll be times when you have to rebuke. And rebuking sometimes goes beyond just saying it. If you're in a school system or something like that, you get involved in the school system. You don't like what's going on in your district? Get involved in your school system. You'll make a difference. Because your voice, because you care enough to be there, your voice will be heard. When you care enough to believe God, to do it by faith, your voice will be heard. It isn't up for appraisal. It isn't up for popular vote. Glory to God. You don't have to wait. You don't have to call and get so many religious things in line, pay so much out of whatever, whether it's money or anything else. So before you get it, glory to God, you have a right through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you can step into that most holy place right then, and with a heart full of God, I guarantee you, you can get on your computer, you can get into your concordance now, hallelujah, you can type in one word, just one word, and it'll take you to an answer. And then he'll work on that. And guess what? Because you've done that, he won't go past where you are necessarily at that time, but he will come right to where you are. He will kneel down just like this. I thought I couldn't do this anymore. And you say, is this important to any? Is this spiritual? It's so spiritual. It's unbelievable. And I needed to get down to work on my tractor, and I was whining and everything else. Because I just couldn't do it. I didn't think I could do it. I thought I'd have to sit down first, lay down, crawl around, do something. And I was having a back problem at the time as well. A little bit, you know, of course, nobody else does have any of them kind of things. Yeah. I get down there like this. Supernatural understanding came to my body. It unlocked something. It's wonderful if you could just sit in your seat and speak everything into being, because that's exactly what most of God's people want to do. They don't want to do nothing. They just want to speak it. But the Hebrew word for breath, the Hebrew word for speak, or I mean to hear, is to hear and do. So after you hear it, you do it. And as you hear it and do it, now a light turns on. Say, oh my God, I had no idea it was going to work like this, in this area. This is pretty cool. And if we'll take on those kind of properties, you'll see. You can do it. And do it in a way in which you didn't even imagine you could do it before. Next one, so we can see this. Now he prophesied. I wanted to do some other things, but I'm not going to give you a bunch of scriptures right now. I may do that later. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now, who's talking here? Ezekiel. He's prophesying now. This is what he's prophesying. You see, whenever you get into a place where you can't seem to get out, or you need more than what you have, what do you need? You need a miracle. You need something you don't have. You need something that's beyond you. Even though somebody else might have it, it's no less to you if you need it. Amen. See? So all this judging junk that's been going on can stop. And we can speak the word of the Lord into situations and watch God through His Holy Spirit change those situations. You have no clue whatever causes any of this. And you wouldn't unless you were in that body, in that circumstance, in that place. You can't look. You can't be standing outside and know what's going on inside until you get taken, go outside and go inside. Give me the next one. So there was a breath there. That word for that Greek word is ruah, and it's the same as pneuma. It's breath of lives. It's God's intention. He never ever did anything but do that. And so that brought all the bones together. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. Same word. And ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Hallelujah. And He's doing that right now to us. Every dry bone, every dead, oh Lord Jesus, I'm going to have to stop right here. Hallelujah. I'm sorry I didn't look at the time. Hallelujah. And I went over a little bit, but praise the Lord. And I'm not that sorry, but I am. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to, what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is, just let me wrap it. Give me about 3 minutes to wrap it up. Beloved, I really believe that what the Lord wants to do tonight, to do in our midst today, is to leave you with encouragement that whatever you might be facing, bring Him into it. No matter if it's whatever it is, because we're all in different places. But you aren't in a wrong place. And you may have done things wrong that caused it, but He's not out to bear that burden on you. Do you know that? He isn't. Oh, we would like to. You ought to know better and all. No. And I'm learning this more every day as I live, to try and be more compassionate and patient with people. Glory to God. Because He can fix it. You know, my grandson, whatever happens, he brings it over. I built a trailer, for crying out loud, for him in the driveway and stuff like that. Every time he has some crazy thing happen, I'm saying, now look, you need to learn how to use these tools. You know, a torch and the MIG welders and the welders. You should know how to do this stuff. I'm being patient enough to teach you. Well, he'd just soon have me do it. And he will until he has to do it. But guess what? He's been there watching and listening. And even though it may take a little bit, I guarantee you that if he needs to, he'll be able to do it. That's what the Lord is doing with us. We don't all respond the same. You know, we don't need it as bad. Until we get put in that situation. But he had never left us there. You see, He never took away the bones. He never cremated them. He never disallowed their identity. Even though they were all separated and all split up and everything, He identified them as Israel, as the nation Israel. And then when God spoke, they had the word in them. You got to hear this. And as soon as they heard the word, they came together, Carl. But they had nothing to hold them together. They had nothing to make them functionable. They had nothing to demonstrate who they were. So he had to put sinew on, and muscle and sinew and skin. Hallelujah. And all the organs begin to come into place. And so you see, are you excited? I pray that this house fills up full of people that love God with no judgment in the seats, because I'm saying stuff that stirs up the religious flesh. But believe me, I was trained there. I know. I know it held me back. I won't be held back anymore. I won't be reckless, and I won't go out of the will of God or out of His Word. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm expecting Him to come to my need. And in order to do that, I have to step into it with both feet and own it, whether it's good or bad. Admit I have to have something other than what I know and what I have and who I am and how much I know. I'm not preaching you a sermon that I had 20 years ago, because I've been preaching for 40 or more. I got notebooks of sermons. I don't need to buy no sermons. And they get better. But we're in today. And so I just want to... Are you encouraged today? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's stand.